You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. In our study of John, remember, we are looking at the John's wonderful purpose by way of God's grace, is to present the Lord Jesus Christ as the living and only God. In the light of all of Old Testament history, in the light of all of secular history, in the light of everything, everywhere, all the way to the New Testament, etc. God, you're trying to communicate to us human beings who you are. For we're supposed to know you and honor you and fear you. Now, and John's, that's his purpose in the Gospel of John. Now, and we share together in chapter 7, 8, and 9, and into 10, the Feast of the Tabernacles, or same period of time, same number of days, and the feast has taken place, chapter 7, and the encounter with the Pharisees, etc., and chapter 8 and chapter 9, the encounter with the blind man, and we did all of those such things. And when you come to the end of chapter 9, the Lord puts it together for us what he was after in picking that blind man. And remember now, in verse 39, 40, and 41, the Pharisees said they could see, and they really couldn't. And they insisted they could see, and they wouldn't take God's diagnostic exam and realize the prognosis is bad. But they didn't want to know, their heart was hard. On the other hand, the blind man knew he was blind and knew he had a need, and therefore he was a ready recipient to receive that need. The Pharisees were not. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ straight moved right into chapter 10 and told them the parable of the sheep and the shepherds, and which, chapter 10, verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not that what things they were which he spake unto them. And these are, now remember now, here's this plateau 35 miles in length and 17 miles wide approximately. Jerusalem and Bethlehem are in the middle of it. And sheep are all over the place. Shepherds, sheepfolds where they're kept. They use them for sacrifice. There's all kinds. It's their world. They were very, very familiar with it. But these Pharisees, among others, did not understand. And what hung them up, of course, as we share together in verse 1, chapter 10, verily, verily, most assuredly, getting our attention, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the under the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, having said that, and thus they got hung up with the door and the sheep, and after all, they're the shepherds, and they take care of the sheep. That's for people. They were the leaders, and thus they were very much taken back, and they couldn't put the pieces together. So when we came to chapter 10 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus started straight out telling, he knew where a problem was. And verse 7 then said Jesus unto them, again after saying it, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, we did that last time together. Now, in the light of that, and so this, remember now, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one in any way can get to the Father except by or through me. So when you come down to verse 9, I am the door, and by me, there's the little word by, B-Y, you, like going through, preposition, going through. You have to travel. I'm the agent. I'm the, by means. You can't get anywhere except by me, except through me, by means of me. So now, having just reminded ourselves of that, and in verse 9, I am the door by me, through me. If any man enter in, he may or may not. He shall be saved. And he's going to be wonderfully saved. And we share that. And in addition to that, and then he's the door now. And in addition to that, keeping that in mind, in verse 9, the second part, verse 9, the end, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And we share that together. So now, going in and out, coming and going, and remember that's just a way, your daily kind of living, your daily kind of exercise, being able to come and go, have liberty, safety, freedom, security, to be able to go in and out with God's care and blessing, so that you have a wonderful carelessness because of His care. Carelessness because of His care. Thus, and so because of Him. Now, having said that, and we looked at that to get the impact of that, and one place, just to tie it together, hold your finger here, and back over to Psalm 121. In Psalm 121. And you'd recall, remember we shared, you don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy chapter 8, 28, verse 6, the coming, you know, whether you go in or you go out, wherever you do, I'll bless you. God said that to the Israelites that would trust Him. Wherever you go, I'll bless you. In the house, out of the house, at work, at home, at play, I'll bless you. And we shared the usage of it. Now, here it is in Psalm 121. I'll read verse 7. And you know verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help isn't from the hills, it's from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Then you slide over to verse 7. The Lord shall preserve, shall keep thee from evil, all evil. He shall preserve, there he is, the word again, keep thee, keep thy soul. Verse 8, and the Lord shall preserve, there's your word, keep thy going out and thy coming in, there's your phrase, from this time forth, even forevermore. So that traveler's psalm, as you know. So whether you're going, whether you're this way or that way, you're looking to God, you're trusting God, you're fearing God, and you're blessed. You're blessed. God just going to bless. So now, if we, verse 9, chapter 10 of John. Chapter 10 of John, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. I personally am the door. I, the person, am the door. And if you go through me, you have to go through me. And if you don't go through me, you cannot be saved, delivered, and rescued. If you do go through me, if you do use me, trust me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, then you're going to go into the fold at night and be safe and protected. And you're going to be out of the fold during the day. And you're going to be in the field with the food and the sunshine and everything else. And all of that's going to be there. I'm going to take care of you at night. I'm going to take care of you in the morning. I'm going to take care of you at all times, no matter what, when, where, how. I'm going to take care of you. That's what I'm going to do. You trust me, and you're looking to me as your... I am the door to the sheep, for the sheep, and I'm the door. And if you... I am the way, I am the door, I am the fold, I am everything. So when you trust me with all your heart, then you're going to find my wonderful grace. Now, in the light of that, so now we go to verse 10 where we were. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. On the contrary, verse 1, I am come. The thief comes, verse 10, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I have come that they might have life, that be having, present tense, having life, and that to be having it more abundantly. And we shared together that particular word, life, it's have life, but to have life more abundantly. And abundantly has to do with exceedingly, much more, more, abundant, much more, very much more, exceedingly, over and above everything, surplus, plentiful, overflowing, in all of its fullness, all of those words, plentiful, abundant, abundantly, abundant, all those words describe it, abundantly. I've come that you might have life abundantly, overflowing, in all of its fullness. Now, just taking, for the moment, this has to be looked at another way, but may I look at it as a believer now? We want to benefit. Why did you tell us all this, Lord? Why for us? What benefits are there? What do we need to understand? What didn't they understand? What do we need to understand? They didn't understand that you are the door. You are the way to have all the fullness that you have made possible by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, taking our little thought, life abundantly, much more abundantly, then in all of its fullness, to see it, to watch it grow. Let it grow in your mind and heart so you can get a handle on it. All of a sudden, life more abundantly isn't just a few words, it's something wonderful. John chapter 6. The Gospel of John in chapter 6. We have our word. Gospel of John chapter 6. May I pick up, please, remember the Lord of the feeding of the 5,000 of men, 15,000 men, women, much more than that, actually. John chapter 6, picking up, if I can, the disciples finished handing out the food. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, the baskets, gather up the fragments that remain, that which remains, the more, the excessive. In other words, everyone has over 15,000 people taking food, and take what is left over, the overflow. Take all of that. And that's the word, overflow, much. Now we go to verse 13, at verse 12. That nothing be lost. We don't want anything lost. We want everything put to use. Verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. So the baskets went out full. The baskets, when they're all done, are full. Verse 13, the end. The barley loaves, which remained over and above. The three words, remain, over, and above, are the words abundantly. Abundantly. Over and above. Overflow. That's right. More than. So when you put it all together, it was more than enough. God, whatever you did, was more than enough. It was an overflowing. Now, hitting the heart of where we are in the light of our wonderful Lord and Savior. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians and chapter 3, and may I pick up the thought, please? Ephesians chapter 3. And you will note, you're familiar with these things. I just want to put it all together and right in front of you so you can sort of see the whole thing a little bit. The fullness of living. Overflowing. Chapter 3, verse 20. I'll even read verse 19 for a little better context. And to know the love of Christ, which passes, that means you can never get a hold of it. It's too much, like trying to put the whole Atlantic Ocean in a cup. to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, way over his thoughts and ways higher than the heavens, that we ask or think according to the power, the dynamite, the dynamic that worketh in us. Do you see the two words, exceedingly abundantly? That's your word you have in John chapter 10, verse 10. Abundantly. Life abundantly. How much abundantly? Exceeding abundantly. Beyond understanding, beyond thought and word and deed. Something, some kind of going out and coming in, some kind of relationship to God that is, you can't put it into words, you can't even hold it in your hand, no more than you could hold the ocean. And here you are trying to get, wow, God, that's what I came for, so that you'd have that. Now hang on to that. Over, please. And, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So here we're sitting here in the presence of God. What's our whole purpose? God, to honor you, to honor your resurrected life, to honor the life that you've given us as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So here we are, God, to honor that yourself and that kind of life. Well, what are we supposed to understand about that kind of life? It's a wonderful life. It makes the ordinary extraordinary. It makes your eating and drinking, coming and going, nothing like anything. Your whole world is seen differently. You do everything differently. You enjoy life in all of its darkness and dullness and deadness and all of the mess that it's in. To be able to have in your heart a wonderful relationship to the living and only God. Now, to have that. Now, having that's what it's all about. So now, slide over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you recall, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort to come to one's aid, to comfort, encourage, to strengthen. The God of all comfort, the God of every kind of encouragement, support. Who, that God, who, verse 4, comforts us, there's the same word, who comforts, supports us, comes to our aid in all our tribulation. Why? Purpose. That we may be able to comfort, encourage them. So God, you're going to enable us to have a kind of life overflowing. And that life overflowing is going to be able to be a healthy light for people in the darkness, a right in the middle of the wrongness, a relationship that is healthy. And you, God, make it possible. So we're able to go and comfort them, to encourage them which are in any trouble, pressure, squeezing, whatever it is, by the comfort, that's right, that we're getting, the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So here we are looking, and God, the God of all comfort, you're going to comfort us, and you're going to encourage us, and you're going to make life abundantly wonderful. And in the process, we're going to be able to help others that are in trouble in any way, shape, or form. Verse 5, for as the sufferers of Christ abound in us, do you see the word abound? Overflowing, much, fullness of it. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, So our consolation, comfort, encouragement, coming to our aid, also aboundeth, overflowing by Christ. So, God, you're going to let us go through the bumps, the hard things, the easy things, much, little, easy, hard, trouble, and all the different things, just being alive on planet Earth in the light of all the world and all that's happening. And God, you're going to be able, as you allow us to face the reality of all of those things, you are going to come to, and we're in all of the fullness, no being stingy. Don't be don't be whatever it is. Don't be that way. God, you are wonderful. So what are you going to do? God, you're going to abound, so whatever is hitting us, you much more, where sin abounded, Romans, grace did what? Much more abound. God, as you allow all the stuff, easy things, hard work, home, school, health, wealth, problems, boy, our world's full of them. And God, you are able to make, in all of that that comes our way, you are more than, greater than, and it overflows to counter all that comes in, so that we are encouraged, comforted. You come to our aid. Ah, I've come, said the Lord Jesus, John 10:10, life overflowing. That's what I want. That's what it's about. Now, the Pharisees didn't come close to that, of course. The blind man is going to develop and have the benefits somewhat. Now, in the process of that, so over to chapter 9 while you're here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and if I may, you would refresh your memory. Remember we did 2 Corinthians, but here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, may I go directly to verse 8 in the light of the context. And God, 9:8, 2 Corinthians. And God is able to make all, A-L-L, grace, and there's your little word, abound, abundant. And it isn't your faith that makes it work. It's God's grace that makes it work. It isn't your faith. Your faith is necessary to enjoy the grace of God. You're saved by grace, and you live by grace. Every moment you live that way. And you would know, well, hold your finger here, and go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, I'm reminding yourself, John chapter 1, may I go to verse 14, the Word was made flesh, our Lord, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that's our Lord Jesus, full of grace. He is grace for us. Now, sliding down to verse 16. And of His fullness have all we received. What did we receive? When we received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved by grace. And you live by grace. Verse 16. We received, and grace, remember the little word F-O-R, means in place of, just think of the waves of the ocean. Each wave keeps coming in. When does it end? It never ends. Low tide, high tide, the waves come in. Verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received grace in place of grace in place of grace. Back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's how we live. So it isn't some big trick. God is gracious if you're saved, and that's how you go in and out. That's how you go to the store and do everything you do in the grace of God. Verse 8, chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound, overflowing, fullness thereof, plentiful, toward you, grace upon grace. That purpose, you always having all sufficiency. All sufficiency in what? in all things, and you need to have a sufficiency in all things, be satisfied in all things, may, having sufficiency in all things, the end of verse 8, may abound. There's your little word, abundantly. Abound to every good work. So you're able to be in the midst of being bankrupt, to be bank rich. To be able to have nothing and yet have everything. To be able to be at a loss for anything and yet at the same breath having everything. Wow. Abound in every good work. God, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Colossians. All we're doing is seeing what God made it very clear when he said, John 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life, have it more abundantly, and then all he's going to do is tell you how that works. And that's all we're doing. We're looking at how does it work? We have verse 10, John, but how does it work? I'm trying to remind us. Over Colossians and chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And you will know, please, in Colossians in chapter 2, picking up, if I can, verse 5, 2:5. And though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, remember John 1, we didn't read it, but we're right there. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power to become children of God. And we read it in John 1:16, you'll receive grace in place of grace in place of grace. Now, so, as reminding us, Spirit of God, reminding us about those truths of John 1, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, live, behave yourself, Monday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so walk ye in him. All right? Rooted and built up in him, so you're resting totally in a wonderful relationship to the living and only God in the person of Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, as you have been taught, we're reading it to try to make sure we get a handle on it, as we've been taught, and we're going to keep going this, how did we go? God saved us by his grace, God keeps us by his grace, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. God keeps us, and in verse 7, abounding, there's your word, abounding, overflowing, plentifully, therein with thanksgiving. So God, as we're going to go by grace and look by grace, is grace going to be sufficient? We just read it in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians in verse 8. Grace is sufficient. For how much? Everything. It abounds. Everything abounds. It's overflowing. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, you're ready for Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians in chapter 4, may I start in verse 9. These things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, Paul, you're going to help them. Paul, are you out there all by your lonesome? Are you dependent on whom? Who are you dependent upon? Who are you needing to have help you? I don't. Verse 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want. I don't lack. For I have learned, which we've been reading, it's abundant. God comforts us in all our tribulations so that we can comfort others. And we are an example. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned to be sufficient, satisfied, no matter what. I have much, I have little. It all works out all right. God's always, no matter what, God's always more than enough. More than enough at any time, way, shape, or form, when everything seems utterly desolate and we're destitute. That seems that way, but we're really wonderfully, abundantly rich in you, our Lord. Now, chapter 4, verse 12. I know, said Paul, I know both how to be abased, how to go down low. How did you learn that? Well, I had to go down low. And I know how to abound, overflowing. I do. I know how to abound. I know how to abound. God, you were more than enough when everything was, when I had nothing, and you're more than enough when I have everything. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, inside out, whether you go outside, inside, God said, I'll bless you. Wherein, and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound, there's your word, abound, overflowing, abound, and to suffer need. I know how, God, I know how to go down, I know how to go up. How on earth did you learn that? God, you are more than enough. What did you do, Lord? Chapter John 10:10. I have come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. That kind of life. That kind of life. And believers ought to have that kind of life. That's what God meant. You look at your life in the last week, the last month. That's the kind of life God meant. You say, well, if you just knew what I've been through, that's the source of the abounding. If you just knew my headaches and everything, and God knows them, that would be a body's bought with a price. And that's where you benefit, because you latch on that even though you're dying on the outside, you're being what? Renewed on the inside. So you're losing, but you're winning. And the more you lose, the more you win. The more you lose, the more you understand winning. Now, when you're young like that, some of you, you're all young. And when you're young like that, and you know, you have all your body parts, all your teeth, all your ears and eyes and everything, yay! You see, and you're pretty sufficient, right? I mean, you're 20 years old, you got everything. Hold it. You need to live a little longer. And then you find what? The stuff goes. You said, your mind isn't going to, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I think of things I used to be able to do. And then I make a half a step. And no, I can't do them anymore. I can't do them. When I could do them, I felt, boy, I see what I can do. We used to be able to lift, you know, boom, a beam, like that. Wow. Now I can't even lift my cup of tea. I'm more conscious of abounding than I ever was. Do you understand? You have to lose in order to gain. Wow. So now, God, Paul, you're wonderfully gaining and winning. That's Paul said, that's correct. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so going out and coming in, we're to understand God has given us grace upon grace upon grace and his wonderful provision so that in everything we have all of his fullness. Now, I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Now, you're very familiar with this, but just note it, if you would, so we can put it together again. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 17 directly. Therefore, if any man, boy, man, girl, boy, woman, if any one be in Christ, he is a new creature, brand new creation, Gentiles, Jews, the church of God. The whole new, wow, a new creature, a new relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ as his body. Wow. A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we shared that a little bit, or someone did at the conference, to remind us that's a wonderful thing. God takes care of all of your past and all of your present and all of your future. And all of that, with every word, thought, and deed that is unacceptable to God, God has sees you as new in Christ. So when we try to offer God our old, God rejects it because he's given you the new. We have all the old in us. We need to honor the new. Exercise the newness. We have brand new creatures. All things, A-L-L, all things have become new. So a person in Christ. Now, having said that little bit, I need to tell the other direction. Over, if you would, please, to Romans and chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8. Try to do this for you. Romans chapter 8. Pick up with me, please, in verse 9. 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, we just read, new creature in Christ. Now, Christ in you. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell where? In you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal, fleshly, corruptible bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, so a new creature in Christ, Christ in us, Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, so we got a relationship. When you come to the door, the Lord Jesus said he's the door, and when you come through the door, it enters into a unique relationship that causes the abundance of life, whether you go in or whether you go out. So you have a unique relationship to God, a unique, inseparable relationship, which is invincible. Now, that relationship. And that relationship is to be exercised so that you have an experience of winning instead of losing. So that you have an experience, God wants you to understand, to know intuitively and developing to first grade, second grade, third grade. Wants you to know so you can enjoy. I've come that you might have life, you might have it more abundant. I want you to be able to enjoy it. That's what God wants. Here we're sitting in his presence. That's what he wants. Wow. Now hang on to that, to enjoy it. Now, to say that, let me say what we just read in Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If Christ be in you, Christ be in you, two things. Now I'm going to say it, the Lord is going to say it. Over with me to John chapter 15. Actually, verse 14, chapter 14 first. John chapter 14, may I go directly to verse 20. John 14:20. At that day, you shall know what? That I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's what you're going to know. When you get saved, you're going to have such a unique relationship to me that it is going to be wonderful, abundantly wonderful. Chapter 15. Now, here's your little phrases or clauses. Verse 4. 15 and 4. Abide, said the Lord, in me, and I in you. You're in me, and I'm in you. Okay? That's what it is. I'm in you, and you're in me. Mm-hmm. All right? And having said that a little bit, and as a branch cannot be a fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So you're going to abide in me, and I'm going to abide in you. And we just did in Christ one now. Now when doing that, trying to do it for you, here you are up here. And in the process, you're there, and let's see, we'll do it which way. Okay. So, you know, the cup's different. Now, so here you are over here, and here, over here, and what did God do? God did two things. New creature in Christ. Here's Christ and you. God places you in Christ. Wow. Now that's wonderful. Isn't it? That's wonderful. See this here? This is you. This is you in Christ. But you know what? It's awful hard to enjoy this. Because I'm over here, and I'm all alone, I'm in the world, looking out all over the place, trying to, wow, what am I going to do? It's wonderful being a new creature in Christ. In heaven, probably I'll know it. What am I going to do here? Here I am all by my lonesome. And the people that take this part and leave the rest. Now watch. God, what was the other part? Therefore, if Christ be in you, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, here you are, there. Now, is that good? Wow, that's good. Except, here, I'm all alone out here. And it's wonderful to know this. Here I am over here, looking out. But you know, it's wonderful to have God in my heart, which is true, but no one believes that that's possible. But it is. Now, so here we are, normal human being, saved, and I look out, and you know what? Everything that comes my way, I have to face it. It's wonderful, Jesus, to have you as my Savior. Help me. But everything comes to me. And God, it's hard. It's hard. Because I have to face the phone call, the heartache, the headache. I have to face the children, the school, and everything I'm doing, sickness and health. I have to face all that. It's a wonderful thing. That's wonderful. Neither one of them do any good. This way. Do you understand that? They're no good. Because the weakness, watch humanness. If you're in heaven, it'd be fine. Now, God, what's missing? Don't you understand that this here, Christ in you, belongs to you in Christ? And it's you in Christ that has everything. Do you understand? There's nothing missing. It's abundant, overflowing. What are you going to do? If you separate it, which people try to get this, and then it doesn't. Now, I bet you it's hard to find believers that enjoy this, and it's hard to find believers that enjoy this, simply because they got them two different things. They belong together. You are at the same time Christ is in you, You are in Christ, in God. And there's nothing missing, not a thing. You don't need to do anything. You already got it. I know how to abound and how to be abased. I know how to got it. I learned. I had to learn this. Now, having said that, in the light of that, everything is cared for. There's nothing that isn't cared for. There are no needs. There aren't any. No, you don't. You already have possession of it. You're in possession of it. Over here, when you do this, you aren't in possession of any. You're in possession, but you don't enjoy any of it. Because you can't have this without this. There's no sense in talking, I'm in Christ, without at the same time, Christ is in me. They belong together. If you don't put them together, you're not going to go, it doesn't mean you aren't saved. I'm just trying to tell you, this is going to work. Because you're asking God that you're facing the world, and it's way over here, and there's nothing, well, it doesn't do me any good. That's a wonderful thing when I go to heaven. Over, if you would, in closing. Over to 1 Corinthians. We were there in Sunday school. Over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. And would you please note, I'm going to directly verse 29. 1 Corinthians 1:29. That no flesh should glory in my presence. So it isn't anything about our humanity. Nope. But, verse 30. But of him, God, are you in, are you where? In your present tense. Are you in Christ Jesus? Do you know how you got into Christ Jesus? You didn't work at it. God the Father did it the minute you believed. You didn't do it. You don't say, I got to work at dying. I got to work at living. I got to reckon myself. No, that's you. No flesh shall glory in his presence. It's all done. You didn't do it. God did it. The minute you receive Christ, like we did in Sunday school, the minute you receive Christ as your Savior, God did this. And, let me finish quickly. You are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God, it doesn't say, God, did you say, Jesus Christ will do for us. He'll do these things for us. He'll do for us wisdom. He'll do for us righteousness. He'll do for us sanctification. It doesn't say that. He is righteousness. He is sanctification. He is the door. He is the way. Do you understand? Remember we read in John 8, I am that I am. I'm all of that. Don't you see? When you receive me as your Savior, all of that became possible. And that's why I expect you and I hold you accountable for this kind of living. Not for dull, boring, everything is unordinary, but we eat and drink what? To the glory of God. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. In thanksgiving in our heart, we drink. Ordinary, extraordinary. Whole life living. Bad news, good news. Wow. Wow. God, you made it all possible. Wonderfully possible, God. Christ in me is all I need. I am the door. You understand? And the Pharisees and them all looking. What do you mean you're the door? They couldn't understand. Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. Moses, you tell him I am that I am has sent you. See, it's hard to learn that, isn't it? God doesn't have to have gimmicks to give us. He is the person, not the smartphone or anything else. It's another person. The Bible is bringing you to wake up to the person of God who makes all of it real. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with our heads and our hearts, our God, that you might enlighten, educate, exercise us. Cause thy word and thy wonderful truth to get a hold of our head and heart. That God, instead of going around, woe is me, that we are going to be a wonder of wonders in this particular age in which we live. And our God, we're going to be thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.